Blog Talk Radio. It's limit sentence.
All this good ass teaching. No, it's not. It's not broadcast. No, it's been a minute. I got this message at 8:39. Man, this was 9 minutes into the show. Jill, do me a favor. Upstairs on the little nightstand is my headphones. Let me get those. No, never mind. Got them right here. Oh, hello, 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 hello. Hello. Can you hear me now? How about now? Hi. Y'all going to... I really don't know what the problem is. I don't know if it's my computer's damaged. I really don't know what it is. Man, it's not like take the sun out your wings. I don't know which device to hear me on right now, if it's the phone or the computer. All right, somebody call back in and don't put it on speaker. And can you hear us? Do you hear me more like this? Do you hear me now? All right, so it's through the phone right now. Which I thought we had up. I thought that's what we were using. All right, let me see. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's try this now. Hi, Alvin. I thought it, bro.
Hey, Shalom, King. What's good?
Hey, it's still shopping here.
Lucky you, you're about to get off. I gotta stay. They got me working.
Send a text out so that everybody knows we're still reconnecting.
I know.
You hear that? Are you hearing all that?
I know. Yeah, we're supposed to go to ISUPK's cookout tomorrow after the Sabbath, man, but I gotta work. I tell you what, man, I'm on the other side. Come over here real quick. Let me holler at you and let you know what's going on. All right, peace. What's going on, man? About to
clock in, man. They got me slaving again, man. You know what I'm saying? Lockdown. What's good for the week? What we doing, man? What we doing tomorrow?
I got to work tomorrow. Tomorrow's my day off. Supposed to be going to the ISUPK cookout after the Passover, but they called me in to come to work last minute, man. I'm so sick and tired of these damn chains, man. The job is like an albatross around my neck.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. Tell me about it, King. So what we going to do, man? We gonna fall off? We got to come up with a plan or something.
Man, listen, man. This is like prison. I'm about to escape. I'm going to use my tape, man, to get the hell out of the job tomorrow. I'll see you there.
All right. Hey, look, man. That's what we're going to do, man. We out, right?
King.
Feeling a way that you're not really acting up there.
No, I'm not acting at all. I'm real. I may have a little music in the background, but everything that I do, I look at as being real.
You know, I first came here some 400 long years ago.
Yeah.
I came as a first class passenger.
Yeah.
On a cold, nasty, muddy, wet prison of death. A slave ship.
Chains. Gotta break away from these chains. Gotta get out of these chains. These chains. Oh, chains. Free yourself from these chains.
Chains.
Gotta break away from these chains.
Chains.
Sick and tired of these chains. These chains. Oh, chains. Gotta break away from these chains.
It'd be terrible to place the blame from where the hatred came. It won't erase the pain, it'll only stagnate the change. Now I ain't saying Whitey ain't gonna pay for his crime committed by the man designed the wicked to be wicked with divine intervention. But let's deal with the facts on how we ended up in them chains. Breaking God's laws, thrown on ships in deplorable conditions. What a horrible vision to have the vision. A slave then, a slave now, instead of ships that got us packed in prison. All from ratchet living, self-hatred, lack of knowledge. Knowledge you won't find from master's degrees and master's college. Master don't love you, master don't love his own. Unless it's 33rd and a third degree of the sullen bones, then you just a nigga with some pale hue. Twice a loser, your heaven, but catching hell too. The hell with you is God's chosen over everything. Give us light, Hebrew Israelites, together let us sing.
Chains.
Gotta break away from these chains.
Chains.
Gotta get out of these chains.
Hi, Shalom, good morning, once again. We done pretty much went through almost the whole broadcast, not realizing that we were not connected to the, here on my computer, I have a switchboard set up, and as well as the class that we're going over, and didn't realize that it tells us that we're on air and that we're broadcasting, but I had no clue that we weren't, that there was no sound. I had no clue that there was no sound. And then just trying to go through and reconnect the sound. I think we got it right now. All right, I think we're here. Cool. What scripture did we leave off at? There's no way I can go back over this whole class right now. This is going to be probably next Monday. We'll probably redo this again. But where are we at right now?
All right, should I go? Go, Pat. Go chapter 5 and verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected.
Again, as we was going over this, again, one of the first years we started with in this class, real quick, I guess I got to recap as best as I can, quick as I possibly can. Give me Baruch chapter 4, verse 4. Just try and go, catch everybody up. For those that didn't catch the early broadcast, the early part of the show, let's again go back through this real quick.
Baruch chapter 4. In the Apocrypha, verse 4, page 105. Baruch chapter 4, verse 4. O Israel, happy are we, for things that are pleasing to God are made known unto us.
As Israelites, we're supposed to be happy. Then now we're finding out, as we're learning, as we're studying, as we're coming to class, now we're finding out, what does it take to please God? And as we're now finding out and learning these things, and learning what it takes to please God, let's go to Proverbs, let that go, Proverbs 7, 16, verse 7 now. that now as we're learning how to please God, it's not the fact that we just learned that we're Israelites, but now as Israelites, what do Israelites' behavior, our conduct, our actions, our decisions, and that got to be based on what? It's got to be based on what pleases God. That, and that's going to make us happy. Now, when we do those things that please God, let's read this now. Where we at?
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7.
Right?
When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
And then it lets us know that now, when our ways please God, what will God do? God will make our enemies to be at peace with us. All right? So that's supposed to make an Israelite happy. That now, it's not just about restriction. It's not just about what I can't do, and now it's all these rules and regulations. But now we're actually finding out what pleases God. And when we do those things that please God, the scripture lets us know that he will make our enemies to be at peace with us. And that as we're going through this class, and the class we're going over, again, we've titled The Most High Kills, which will probably be titled The Most High is in Control of Everything, including death. That the Most High is in control of everything, including death. Being wounded, being stolen, or stole from, robbed, or what have you. That God is in control of everything. And that doesn't nothing happen without him knowing about it. And that a lot of things did happen to us because he turned his back on us because of our rebellion. That because we weren't listening to him and obeying him, that he turned his back. And now with him turning his back on us, that there went our protection. That for things that a father will protect his children from going through because he's watching over them, that when we did those things that are so disgusting to the father, so abominable to the father, and he warned us many times, he's not going to continue to watch us destroy ourselves. Regardless of the warnings, regardless of the chastisements that we keep going through, we're just hell-bent on being destructive to ourselves. That like a loving parent, I'm not going to watch you destroy yourself. I'm not going to sit here and watch you hurt yourself. And I've tried everything I can to stop you from hurting yourself. You got to learn the hard way. You now got to go through whatever life you got to go through without my protection, without my help, without me over your back making sure things come out right. So with that now, we just read Proverbs 16 and 7, right? Now we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39 down. We're trying to go through this quickly.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I am he.
And this is what the Father wants his people to recognize. This is what God wants the Israelites to recognize. He is the only one. He is the Most High. There's no one higher than him. So we make it our duty to make sure we're doing those things and being obedient to his word. We make it our duty to make sure we're doing those things that please him. There is no one higher than him. Like, you might be at a job where you got somebody who's a brown noser. And why are they brown nosing the boss? Because they understand if they keep the boss happy, they'll have a job. It happens. Well, shit, if we make sure we're doing those things that please God, he'll take care of us. It's really not a hard concept. He is the highest. There is no one above him. There's no one up there correcting God about his judgments or what he does. So God is trying to let his people know, the Israelites, look, see now that I am he. There is no God with me. There is no one else up here on my level. There's no one God has to answer to. Read.
I kill and I make alive.
If God wants you killed, no one can help you. But God wants you to be safe. Nobody can harm you. He really is in control of everything. He kills and he makes alive. Read.
I wound. And I heal.
If you're wounded, God wanted you wounded. From an IED over in Afghanistan to stubbing your toe in the middle of the night. Because you've got diabetes, you got to sit in the kitchen and eat some sugar, some food you ain't supposed to eat. He's looking out for you. God wounds and God heals. Read.
Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
And that's on the positive and the negative. If God has you in his right hand for protection, can't nobody harm you. If you're doing those things that please him, being obedient to his word, there's no harm that can come to you. But if God has you in his left hand for judgment, there's nothing and nobody that can save you. Even once you're killed, you're going to be killed. But even once you're just wounded, you're going to be wounded. And as we were going over earlier, before the blackout, before the sound out, that you don't even have power of suicide. You don't have that power. Because if God don't want you dead, you can jump off a 50-story building. You've heard reports of people jumping out of airplanes, army parachutes or what have you. And they drop 10,000 feet. The parachute don't open. They hit the ground and still what? Still live. You jump from 5,000 feet, 6,000 feet, a mile up, and you hit your chute did not open, and you hit the ground and lived. Who wanted you to experience that? And all the painful for years of rehab, learning how to walk again, learning how to talk again, being in a body cast for 6 months. Anybody who's ever had to put a cast on, how itchy them damn things get. You're in a full body cast. You can't even itch yourself, scratch yourself. Who wanted you to experience that? The Father did. So you don't even have power of suicide. You don't have the power to kill. If God wants you to die by suicide, you'll die by suicide. But if he don't want you to die, then whatever means you take to kill yourself, you can still live. You'll still have them scars or whatever. He really is in control of everything. So he says, I wound, I kill. I kill, I make alive. I wound, I heal. And there's nobody who can deliver out of his hand. Read.
Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 40. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever.
When God says that, he's letting you know there's nobody above him. You know, sometimes we figure we're going to go to a higher authority. Yeah, we can't get things the way we want, or it's not going our way. There's always someone else we can answer to. There's a higher authority. Let me speak to your supervisor. Let me talk to your boss. I know there's somebody over you I can talk to. There's no one over God. There's no one higher than God. This is what we got to understand. Read.
Verse 41. If I quit my glittering sword.
And God carries a sword. And as Brother Imam was just bringing out, the word wet means to sharpen. So God does carry a sword. It's sharp. Now, if God has to sharpen his sword, read.
And mine hand take hold on judgment.
It tells you that the reason he carries the sword, and now the reason he carries the sword is for what? For judgment. Read.
I will render vengeance to mine enemies.
The reason God carries the sword is so he can render vengeance to his enemies. Now, give me Luke 19:27. How do you make yourself God's enemy? Then now he's got to use this sword against you, either to wound you or to kill you. Or hell, a sword we use for protection. If God wants to protect you, are we doing those things that please him? How do you make yourself God's enemy? Where we at?
Luke chapter 19, verse 27.
And somebody check the volume, make sure can you hear us? Go ahead.
But those, mine enemies, which were not, that I should bring over them, bring heaven and slay them before me.
All right, cool. So, again, let's read it one more time.
Luke chapter 19, verse 27. But those, mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them.
Christ is telling you how you become his enemy. You don't want to follow his rules. We don't want to follow his ways. That's how you make yourself God's enemy. This is how you make yourself Christ's enemy. I don't obey. I don't do what he said to do. Read.
Bring hither and lay them before me.
If you don't want to obey God, don't want to do things God's way, that's how you make yourself his enemy. And he's got his sword to bring judgment upon you. Or if you're doing those things that please God, then what has God got to protect you? That same sword. A sword can be used to destroy or to deflect or to attack. To defend or attack. If you're his enemy, then he's going to use a sword to attack you. But if you're his friend, if you're doing those things that please him, then he's going to use his sword to what? To protect you. He really is in control of everything. He really is the most powerful. Are we doing those things to please him? No. Now let's go to Job chapter 5. Now we're kind of catching up. Now let's go to Job chapter 5.
Job chapter 5 and verse 17.
Right, now we're going to the book of Job chapter 5, verse 17.
Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected.
Now it tells you what?
Happy is the man whom God corrected.
That we should be happy that God's not correcting us. We shouldn't be like spoiled little brat kids that because I want to drink the Clorox, like we were talking about earlier, and the parent who loves me now takes the Clorox away from me. So I don't drink it because if a child drinks Clorox, what's going to happen? It's probably going to kill him. But because the child is a child, don't understand that. All the child sees is, you took it away from me. You won't let me, I want it, but you won't let me have it. Meanie. You ever come in the house and your kids start telling you shit? Right. Who did it? Who did it? Mommy did. What did mommy do? She wouldn't let me have the knife.
Put it in the electrical socket.
I was playing a superhero. And the hero had to fly into the cave. And I'm trying to have the hero fly into the cave, and mom took it away from me. Lips all pouted, lips just mad as hell. And for whatever amount of redirection mom was trying to implement, this child was hell-bent on putting this metal knife in the damn electric socket. She went and bought you all types of superhero action figures. She bought you action figures, bought you Legos, bought you all type of stuff that you know fly your superhero into the damn cave. But no, you got to put the knife in the damn electric socket.
It's not, they're not as shiny as the knife.
Right.
Superhero got to be shiny. Got to be heavy.
He got to be heavy. But mommy's a meanie. Get her. Especially like the toddlers, they're between infant and toddlers, they can't talk yet. All you do is just point. I remember my son, he must have been about 4 years old, just starting to talk, putting things together. My daddy came to visit, right? This is a nigga going to say to my dad, Papa. So your dad's dad.
Well, my dad's Papa, yeah.
And so you can spank him.
And yeah, that was my son who came up with that whole matter of thinking at 4 years old.
Oh, so you can spank him. I bet. Pawpaw, Spank Daddy.
All things are done decently and in order, right?
Right. But see, in that case, because Izod was not able to put together, there's someone higher than Dad.
Right.
There's someone that Dad has to answer to. What we got to put together is there's no one higher than God. But now, if we have some understanding, because we're studying, Job chapter 5, verse 17 tells us what?
Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected.
Hold on a second. Now, all of a sudden, now. No, it disconnected. All right, cool. We're going to keep going there as best we can. God. This ends in 20 minutes anyway, so. Can y'all hear me? Let's go for it, then. Where we at?
Job chapter 5, verse 17.
Man.
Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty.
But see, this is what we don't get. Happy is the man that God corrects. Because we don't really appreciate that God really is all-powerful. We don't appreciate that God be correcting us. Not for our destruction, but because he loves us. Therefore, as much as we understand Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39, that God kills, God makes alive. How many times have you been around situations where people got killed, but you were saved from it? What was God trying to show you? If you continue down that path, that's what you got coming. Therefore, however they was living, whatever they was doing, it pissed God off enough to where he went ahead and finally killed them. Now, you can continue down the same path they were going down and see the result. You already know what the end of result is, death. Or you can take correction. You know what? The way they're living, God doesn't want me to live that way. And God is showing me that this person was put to death because of the lifestyle decision and choices that they were making, that they were living by. So God was trying to correct me before it got to that extreme. Before it's got to get there. But a lot of times we don't put that together. We want to go ahead and get mad. Why did God kill this person? Because they were living foul. And God was trying to use them as an example for you. They died so God can show you, if you live that way, this is what's going to happen. It's no different than, I'm going to take it here. Homosexuals, even though now it's rampant in the heterosexual community, AIDS started in whose community?
For homosexuals.
Because what was God trying to show?
The right way of doing
things. If you're a fudge packer, you catch an AIDS. You like to take trips down the Hershey Highway? You catch an AIDS. There's a punishment for it. Then God tried to show us what? Not just those who like to travel down the Hershey Highway, but those who call themselves bisexuals. And now because of adultery, people are cheating, because people sleeping outside of the marriage chamber, now, AIDS has become rampant in the heterosexual community also. But this only happens for what reason? This guy trying to show you, don't do that. If you live that way, then this is what you like. This is what you're subject to. You had a relative, a friend, somebody who lived that lifestyle, and they died from AIDS. What was God trying to show you? That lifestyle is wrong. But too many people get mad and upset
Why did God? All he was, he just was he loved life. Why would God give man his sexual preference? Why would God do such a thing? Because God's trying to correct you. God's trying to show you not to live that way. That's an extreme heterosexual community, homosexual, or if you were wife swapping, bisexual, friends with benefits type of lifestyle that's out here in the world today. That is not what God has intended or wants for his children. And that these are the consequences. If you follow these paths, these are the consequences. So now you see somebody who's a crack addict, a heroin addict. What is God trying to show you? If you follow these paths, you're going to wind up the same way. Go back and consider what got them here. What got them started down this path? And am I headed down the same path? God has got all these examples around you to correct you. Why would a person get stopped for DUI? Hopefully God will have this person stopped with a DUI before they actually wind up running somebody over. Before it becomes vehicular manslaughter. So what will God do to correct you? To help you? You got your DUI. Before the DUI, it might be you can't stop getting in car accidents. Why is God have this going on? He's trying to correct you. But the more we keep showing, I'm going to be rebellious. The more we keep showing, I'm not going to obey God. God's got to step up his punishment. God's got to step up his correction. But he's not doing it because he hates. He's doing it because he loves, but because we don't study. Because we have a bit of spoiled bratness in us. We think it's just our destruction. As opposed to come back and read these scriptures and get some good, clear understanding. We're in Job chapter 5, verse 17. Can somebody read it for me?
Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects.
It says, happy is the man that God corrects. If a man's really studying, he understands the correction of God. That's what he's supposed to be happy about that. There'll be so many times I'll be driving down the highway. I would tell you be driving down the highway and you're speeding. And a car just jumps in front of you and slows you down. There's so many times that happened with me, I get pissed. You want to go around the damn car and flip him off and do whatever because he slows you down? But there's so many times I've learned now when that happens, within a matter of a minute or two, there'll be a cop in a speed trap set up somewhere. And if I would have continued the way I was going, that cop would have got me. There's no way I would have been able to slow down and stop. But the most I had this car, with this person, just jump in front of me, make me slow down. Because I'm oblivious. Yeah, I'm late for work or got something going on. I'm playing my music loud as hell. I'm out of it. I'm not aware. And now this car just jumps in front of me, and I have to slow down. Then I look up, and that cop would have got me. That's why somebody say, "Oh, damn." That's the most I'm looking out there. Because I've just been rolling. In my own mind, in my own head, my own thoughts. But then those times when, yeah, that car jumps in front of me, I get mad, pissed off, and right when I'm zipping around there, guess who's right there? Now I'm pulled over, got to go through all sorts of changes and stuff. Because I wasn't in the spirit. I would realize the Most High was trying to look out for me. But I'm stuck on stupid. I'm stuck on my foot needs to be to the floor. I got my good music on, and I'm rolling. Now I'm realizing the Most High is trying to help me. How many times you get stopped by the cop and you want to be, for as much as I'm trying to speed to get to wherever I'm trying to get to on time, now I got stopped and got delayed damn near an hour. Whereas if I just would have slowed down, I'd already been to my destination. But because I'm out the spirit, I'm stuck in my own thoughts. Now I got a ticket, might have the car towed, and I'm late from where I'm trying to get to. Because I'm not listening. I'm not obeying. So, Job 5:17 tells us what again?
Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects.
Happy is the man that God corrects. Read.
Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty.
He says, don't despise the chastening of the Almighty. He might be doing these things to help me as opposed to just punish me and destroy me. Read.
For he maketh sore and bindeth up.
Because he does what?
For he maketh sore.
This is like when a parent's got to give a child a pop out. And a nosh. I got to make your butt sore. Why does a parent have to make that child's butt sore to correct their behavior? For them to consider consequences. So the Most High does the same thing. You know, in my family, my immediate family, so my mom, my dad, my brother, and me, my nuclear family, my biological nuclear family, I'm the only one who got diabetes. My brother, as a child, he used to sneak cups of sugar at night. I mean, a whole cup. You know, little paper cups? Kitchen paper cups?
Yeah.
He would get a whole paper cup of sugar. Eat it. And then I got diabetes. He'd eat a whole cup of sugar, and his favorite candy was Smarties and like Nerds and them sweet sour things. Sweet tarts. Oh, he was on it. That's all just, that's just straight sugar. But who wants it with diabetes? You would think. But why the Most High give me diabetes? Because whatever lifestyle change he wanted me to make in my eating and in my diet, he wanted me to correct those things. But as much as I might get mad at it and be angry with it, the truth of the matter is, I got diabetes because he wants me to make some lifestyle changes. He wants me to be more disciplined in my diet. But as a rebellious, spoiled brat, I want to get mad and say it's unfair that he can eat what he wants to eat when he wants to eat it. But if I just sniff a candy bar, my blood sugar goes through the roof. Yeah, my parents can eat pork, shrimp, crab, lobster, can eat what they want to eat. And they ain't got no health problems. If I don't stay disciplined on my diet, I'm paying for it. I got no energy. I've had several operations now. Losing feeling and nerve in my feet. My vision's going bad as hell. Because what's the Most I want me to do? He wants me to change for my good. But I want to be that rebellious brat and fight. And no, I should eat what I want, dream what I want, when I want, like everybody else. Or just like we tell, like a parent tells a child. I don't want you like everybody else. Good for them. You're going through this here because God wants to change out of you. God wants you to change. You can't live like everybody else. How come they can do this? How come they do that? Because God don't care about them. How come they're not getting DUIs and diabetes? And how come they're not getting a cirrhosis of the liver? How come they can smoke, eat, drink, do whatever they want to do, and they seem happy, but I just do a little bit and I get in trouble? Because God doesn't care about them. Let's read again, in case we didn't get that, in case it's not sinking in.
Job chapter 5, verse 18. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He wounded.
God makes what?
He maketh sore.
He makes you sore. Like an ass whooping. You keep getting in the wrong relationships and they keep hurting you. Why? Because you keep, because your mind keeps picking the wrong person. You ain't picking the right person, the person that God wants you to be with. You keep picking the wrong person and you keep getting hurt. But one of your exes can get with one of your best friends and they live happily ever after. Why? God wants them to have that. Not, he didn't want that for you. That person was the wrong person for you for what God wanted you to do. For what God had intended for you, that person was not going to help you get to what God wants you to get to. But we want to get mad and upset, but how come they can live happily ever after? How come they can have this? How can they have it? Because God don't care about them. That's really the simple truth to it. But you know why this is hard to comprehend? Because I don't study. God woke me up, let me know I'm a Hebrew Israelite, because he wanted me to live a certain way, but I don't want to live that way. We got to understand, once God woke us up, God now requires a higher standard of living. God now requires a certain way for us to direct and look at things. Because he woke us up. How come he didn't wake up our friends? He didn't want them to wake up. How come he didn't wake up other family members? He didn't want them to wake up. He's in control. So how come they can do things and it seems like they prosper and it's good, but I do just a little something and I'm getting punished for it? Because God only punishes and chastises the ones he loves. If they're not getting chastised because God don't care about them. How many times do you catch yourself asking, how come I get in trouble for every little thing, but they can get away with murder? God don't care about them. That might be a hard fact to realize. God don't care about them. If he cared about them, he would call them in the truth also. If he didn't call them in the truth, he didn't call them in this, he don't care about them. He chose you. Didn't the scripture say he chose you one of a family, two of a household? When he says one of a family, what does that mean? So that when he didn't choose your uncles, he didn't choose your aunties. He chose you. Of all your family, cousins, nephews, uncles, nieces, grandparents, whomever. Why did he choose them? Because he only picks one of a family. He chose you. And every time you do something, he gets on you for it. Why? Because he chose you. He loves you. So it seems that they get away with every damn thing. Yeah, it's true. They do. Because God didn't pick them. He picked you. It says he makes sore, he does what?
Verse 18, for he maketh sore and bindeth up.
He maketh sore, he'll chastise you, but you know what? He's going to come out and get you. If we're ready to be obedient, he's ready to come back now. All right, cool. Now let me show you the right way. Go ahead.
Middle of 18. He wounded.
Yeah, God will wound. From a wounded heart to a purple heart, if you're in the military. Read.
And his hands make whole.
But he'll make you whole if you become obedient. If we start listening to him. But if you ain't studying, what's the biggest way to disrespect somebody? Thank you. That's the biggest way to disrespect someone is to ignore them. What do we show God when we don't even study? I'm not trying to hear what you got to say. And I'm not trying to hear what you got to say because I'm not trying to do what you say do. I'm not trying to hear that. When somebody says, talk to the hand, what does that mean? Shut up. Get out my face. You're talking about ain't saying nothing. When we don't study, it's no different than if I keep calling somebody on the phone and they keep not picking up the phone, what are they trying to let me know? If I get blocked from texting, if I'm on Facebook and I get unfriended, what am I saying to that person? I'm done. I don't like what you're saying. I don't like what you post. I'm not about you. How do we think God feels about the situation? How many of us have unfriended God? And then we wonder why my life is hell. I can't see the